Fame is something that people want so desperately, chasing views, numbers, despite what it brings to you. Just having the idea of being called famous sometimes does things to people. As someone who gets recognized in public from time to time, does countless signings at conventions, has over a million followers on social media, I have a very small taste of what hypothetically fame could be like. Obviously, I'm not as big as these modern day celebrities, but what happens when we don't take our safety as seriously as we should? This week on the DeLulu Canoe podcast, we are deep diving into a true crime that makes me feel a little bit, well, DeLulu. I've started opening up this segment on our podcast for those of you that love listening to true crimes, and a lot of you are really interested in it and have really enjoyed the past couple of episodes, so be sure and go watch those other two if you are interested. But today we are going to be talking about the case of Christina Grimmie. I'm sure you all remember in the 2000s when YouTube was insanely popular. You used to be able to upload a video of you singing a cover and you could go insanely viral back in the time. In 2009, Christina Grimmie uploaded a cover of her singing a Hannah Montana song. Her account was called Zelda X Love 64 and it featured her singing many covers of popular songs, which landed her on The Ellen Show and even opened for Selena Gomez on tour. As she was making these multiple appearances, she had amassed over 2 million subscribers on YouTube, which is no small feat. I mean, looking at my channels, they're quite petite in comparison, so she really hit her stride at a very young age. In 2014, she even auditioned and landed a spot on The Voice in season 6. She sang Wrecking Ball and landed Adam Levine as her singing coach. She came in 3rd place overall and had 3 million subscribers on her YouTube channel at that time. So she really popped off on her own, but using the leverage of the show The Voice became extremely internationally famous and popular. On June 10th, she opened for the band Before You Exit at the Plaza Live Theater in Orlando and stayed afterwards to meet fans, sign autographs, take photos with them as you normally would. And amongst them was Kevin Loibel, a 27-year-old man who had a fascination with her. Kevin was a man who, well, was kind of a homebody, would describe himself a little bit as a hermit, and also would say he had an aversion to light. He would put aluminum foil and heavy curtains over his windows to avoid it at all costs. Later, Kevin's best friend would say that Kevin was obsessed with Christina, not only just watching her many pieces of content that she would upload on YouTube, but watching them many and multiple times and consistently refreshing her social media sites to see if she's posted anything new. This all sparked a change in Kevin, seeing her countless posts and how she believed in God. He decided to lose 50 pounds. He got his teeth whitened, got LASIK eye surgery, got hair implants, and he said that he got it all for Christina. Which, I don't know, if I saw my bestie, like, thirsting over a person that they have never met before to a point where they're getting LASIK eye surgery, getting hair implants, losing weight, I would be a little bit concerned and I would have a conversation with them. I'm a little confused why this bestie is just kind of like, yeah, he did say these things. Like, the signs are there. Maybe you should say something. This is what friends are for, right? Keeping us on the path, the straight and narrow, you know? And weirdly, I didn't read this till now, I predicted this, but his best friend did try to tell him that this infatuation was out of hand and him having this idea of them being in a relationship is not healthy or normal. So, okay, the bestie did try to tell Kevin that this is out of sorts, out of pocket, and we need to kind of come back to reality. So I'm happy that that happened, but his best friend would say that Kevin would become angry and defensive when he would have these conversations with him and would not entertain the idea that his plan would not work and would threaten to end their friendship if he pushed further. Okay, well, I am glad that the friend did at least try to have a conversation with him about this because as a best friend, it's kind of not your job, but it is our responsibility as people to look out for each other and to make sure that we're not spiraling out of control. And it's unfortunate that Kevin would then use this anger and this rage to then say, well, if you're going to keep pushing me on this, I don't want to be your friend. So it's not really looking good for either of these two. But I'm at least glad that his friend did try to stop him and have a conversation with him. When talking to Kevin's other coworkers, because he worked at Best Buy, they all knew about his internet crush. They saw his physical appearance change a bit and noticed no mental change in him. They all had no idea this parasocial relationship had gone to the dark side of obsession. So enough people were clocking that he became obsessed with Christina, his coworkers, his best friend. It makes me wonder, why was no one intervening further? Like, I almost wish his friend would have stepped away from the friendship, because where this goes, you're going to be shocked or you're maybe seeing it coming. All right, here we go. In my opinion, I'm wondering if people were really missing the signs here. Either he was really good at like writing off all of this obsession, or like when his coworkers would kind of poke fun at him, he either just kind of like dealt with it is what I'm hearing, or maybe he was just really good at masking, or that people just never really took an interest in Kevin and never really like followed through with his interests or kept an eye on him. Like, he wasn't interesting enough for people to follow up on him. People just used him as like the butt of their jokes, so to speak. Kevin and his bestie spoke 5 days before June 10th in Orlando, and Kevin said, "I'm tired and I'm ready to ascend." Why did the best friend not say anything? You're probably thinking, and I'm subtly thinking, but I've actually had some experience with going to the police station myself. Now, if the bestie were to go to the police station and say, "Hey, my friend is showing obsessive signs for this pop star," and if they were, you know, having a bit of a conversation back and forth, the police would then tell them that, well, did they threaten to hurt them? Did they threaten to hurt themselves? Then there's nothing we can do. And that is very true and very valid, because I have witnessed it firsthand. When one of my friends needed to go to the police station, I went with them. And unless it is in writing that that person is either trying to cause you harm or themselves harm, they won't even write a report up for it. And after 90 days, they will delete the footage of you being even in the police station. So I do feel for the friend here that there really isn't a lot that he could have done. I'm curious, to those of you that are listening to this episode or watching it on YouTube, if you'll comment down below, at this age, he's 27, would you go to this person's parents? Would you bring up this concern? Because obviously the bestie knew that he was going to Orlando to see her in person. I feel like I would have. I would have reached out to the parents and been like, "Hey, just want to let you know, Kevin's going to see this pop star that he's a little bit obsessed with. Maybe keep an eye out," or something. But I don't know. Would you reach out to the parents of someone who's showing creepy, obsessive, parasocial relationship behavior, or what would you do instead? Let's start a good conversation in the comment section down below, please. Only positive thoughts. So Kevin travels from St. Petersburg, Florida to Orlando, Florida on June 10th to see Christina's show, and he sticks around after the show to see her at the meet and greet, where she's signing autographs, taking photos with her fans, and Kevin approaches her at the table. Christina's brother claims that Christina had her arms open wide to him as he approached. Christina just loved people around her and would give any of them all the time in the world, just because she loved people so much. And instead of a friendly embrace for our friend Kevin, he shot her. And he was quickly tackled by Christina Grimmie's brother, but he got away and was able to turn the gun on himself. So he never had to face the consequences of his actions. Which makes me so mad when somebody goes out of their way to take someone else's life into their own hands and then don't get to deal with the repercussions, don't have to deal with the consequences of their actions, because that person did not obviously consent to being removed from the planet. And it just, it irks me so much. I wish people standing by would have like helped contain him or like restrain him or get the weapons away from him, because we would be reading this in a much different context. No, but It is what it is, unfortunately. And Christina was rushed to the hospital, but passed away at just 22 years old, which is just insanely tragic. Like, she had her whole life ahead of her. She was insanely young, incredibly talented, like, just gave her heart and soul to everything that she put her voice into, and her writing was amazing. And just for this man to take such a controlling ownership over this woman is just devastating. And then, again, not to face the consequences of his action just makes my blood boil that I can't even say words properly. It makes me so mad. One man, yay. Okay. She had her entire life ahead of him, you know? And this one man just let his imagination just run so far, and it cost her her life, and it cost him his selfish life. And her family afterwards, because I guess for some, you know, reason, people were starting to blame the family for not keeping a good eye on him. They had to tape a sign to their door reading, "Our deepest sorrow for the loss of the family, friends, and fans of the very talented, loving Christina Grimmie. No other further comments." Which, okay, I understand, but also it's just, I don't know. This whole story just makes me so mad. Like, this is why celebrities don't really do meet and greets anymore. This is probably, like, one of the most famous cases of a fan really falling into obsession and parasocial relationships. And we'll get to the news reports here in a bit. So just to, like, string together the line of events, she, Christina Grimmie, was shot at 10:30 p.m. and was pronounced dead at midnight. Christina Grimmie's autopsy came back and showed that he had shot her not only one time, but two times, once in the head and once in the chest. Her death was ruled as a homicide. Adam Levine actually paid for her funeral, and her family started the Christina Grimmie Foundation to support families of gun violence victims, which is incredible. And I can't, you know, I don't even, that must have taken so much strength on their end. Like, I can't even imagine what it would feel like to lose their child, but I am so proud of them for using their grief and making it into something that will make an impact. And in March 2022, Christina Grimmie's family released her new song she was working on prior to her death. The song was titled "Rule the World" and is being used to help collect donations. The song is titled "Rule the World" and is being used to collect donations for Christina Grimmie's foundation. Since 2023, the foundation has helped over 200 families with grants totaling nearly $500,000. So, way to take a tragic event and make it mean something, even when life seems like it's not fair. I am incredibly proud of her family for, again, using their grief to build something and use her name to build a legacy and help other people so this doesn't have to happen to them. What's really insane is that her death truly didn't get the media coverage it deserved, because, unfortunately, not too far away, the Pulse nightclub in Orlando had a tragic shooting 2 days after her murder. I'm going to do a Patreon episode on this, just to give a little bit more of my personal feelings about this tragic story and just about Christina Grimmie. But I want to leave those of you who are listening and who watch me on my many platforms a bit of a famous quote to just keep in the back of your head while you're consuming content on other creators that you think, like, maybe if we met in real life, we would be good friends, or if you're just kind of getting overwhelmed with the ideas in your mind that might eventually lead to infatuation. "She was his son, but he flew too close. Burned," he cried. "I made you what you are." The sun smiled, for she knew it was not his love that had made her. It was the love that she bore for herself that was her power. By Wicked Words. So be careful. Don't fly too close to the sun. Thank you all so much for listening to another True Crime DeLulu episode. I am your host, Dare Taylor. You can find me on Dare Taylor Official on Instagram. And I just want to take a second to thank our patrons. They're going to be scrolling by on screen as I keep doing the outro. Our $5 patrons, our other tiered patrons, and our $50 patrons. Thank you all so much for supporting the podcast. And don't forget, everybody, to stay Delulu, because it's the Salulu. Bye. Subscribe and share with your friends.
Please. Okay, bye.